This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am speaking to internet marketing legend, Jim Galliano. I do call him Jill Galliano at one point, and he was perfectly fine with me leaving that in the edit. We talk about a whole load of stuff, about setting up agencies, about marketing yourself, about being an entrepreneur. And Jim has a very special course that he is excited to announce that's on sale right now. So let me dive straight in, and I hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. And today I am delighted to be joined by a gentleman that has been mixing in the same circles as me, or me as him, or however you want to put it together, for months and months. And finally, we spoke a few weeks ago. Jim Galliano, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete, it's great to be here.
Hey, Jim. Thank you so much for finding the time. I know that you're super busy right now because you've got a course that's being launched. We'll talk about that in a minute. And you've got all your other sort of normal work stuff going on. So for you to find an hour to come and talk to me, I really do appreciate it. Do you want to sort of give a quick intro as to who you are and what you do?
Sure. I've been online since 1998. I basically call myself an internet consultant these days because it covers the whole gamut of things. I've done everything from launching courses to writing ebooks and everything in between, host a whole bunch of websites, and have worked for people, what some people might call from the affluent type of client all the way down to the regular mom and pop business, somebody working out of a corner bedroom of their house. Mm-hmm. So recently I've been focusing on finishing up a course and launching it called The Solopreneur's Guide to Starting, Building, and Marketing a Successful Digital Agency. And what it's based on is the premise that we want to enjoy bigger profits with smaller agencies. So we face this dilemma where we're trying to scale up what we're doing, and there's only so many hours in a day. Mm. You find that you're consistently living, breathing, thinking, and eating this business, it starts to bleed over into other areas of your life. It's tough to relax. It's tough to enjoy time with friends and family because you always have these thoughts about work right there in the forefront of your mind or right there in the background. And so the technology and the systems and everything that we need, all of those things are available now where we can leverage these tools and just build something that's better, less stressful, less headaches, and enjoy a higher profit margin in the process. So that's what I'm doing.
That's great. So I've been sort of lucky enough that you've sort of had some conversations online in some Facebook groups and whatever. And I've been lucky enough to sort of know that this course has been coming out for a few days now. You're actually launching it when this airs. It will be for sale, won't it? And it will be until the 29th of November, and then you're going to relaunch it in January. So do you just want to run through a little bit about what the course is about and how it's structured and how people can get hold of it if they want to?
Sure. Well, you'll be able to go to my main website at jimgalliano.com. That's Jim, GALIANO.com. Mm-hmm.
There'll be a link to that in the show notes. So if anybody, if anybody's wondering how to spell it, it'll be in the show notes.
So that launches at 9 a.m. on Friday, November 15th. And the doors will close for it on Black Friday that night, the 29th, at probably about 9 p.m. So just to hit on a few key points with it, it's a 10-module course. And I go over a lot of things like how to set your pricing, how to create great offers that people, no matter where they fall on the income spectrum, whether they be a small client, a big client, or somewhere in between, there'll be something that's a good fit for them. I talk about how to create a powerful business plan and strategy that's simple. In other words, something that can keep you on track. Mm. Or else what happens is you start reacting emotionally to what's happening. By that, I mean kind of like, I've blogged for 2 or 3 weeks. Or I made a bunch of podcasts. Nobody's listening. So you just drop it and move on to something else. it becomes a vicious cycle. I talk about how to get free publicity in the mainstream media, and I've been fortunate to been able to get interviews with, now I'm here in the US, I know a lot of your listeners are probably over there, but still every country has a mainstream medium that exists, and they can get you publicity that's really hard to get on your own. So I go into that. I touch a lot on how to market without manipulating or trying to manipulate people to get the result that you're after. I include my contracts, my sales verbal proposal system, how to cold call business owners so that you can sell without selling. I give you the entire script. I present a minimalist marketing plan so that you can get better results, as opposed to we got to be everywhere, talking to everybody all the time. I share my simple video system so that you can connect with new people as well as stay connected to the people that you're already doing business with. You know, sometimes our existing clients are kind of like out of sight, out of mind. That's how we are with them. And so I avoid all that by building ongoing relationships with these people. I go over a platform creation where you can regularly be seen, heard, or read, and the psychology behind why I create the kind of content that I do. Going back to the media and press, I give all the templates you need, including the ones that landed me television interviews. And it's just a lot of things that my goal here is that with any course, there's a balance between giving somebody so much information that, wow, I can't even get out of the how to get publicity section. I'm just overwhelmed. And then you walk away and never come back. There's that side of information overload. And then there's the other side where you just touch on something so briefly that you think to yourself, well, what about this, this, and this?
Yeah.
So the goal here was to strike that happy medium. And I think I did. I really think I did with this one. So it was a joy to put it together, and I'm really looking forward to working with the people that purchase it in just a week or so.
Fantastic! That's brilliant. And there will be a redirect as well over to the course from peteeverett.com/solopreneursguide. So if you can't get jimgagliano.com, if you haven't figured out how to spell it yet, peteeverett.com/solopreneursguide will head you on over there as well. Now you're doing
awesome.
This. That's no problem at all. So you're also, I mean, I should also mention that you're launching the course for only sort of $97. It's not like one of these mega hundreds or thousands of dollars thing, although you've got that much value in there. And the first consignment of people that go through it will have some live training with you as well, won't they?
Yes. And that's why I've opened it for 2 weeks. And then after that, I'm closing it down so I can work with everybody and try and get them ready for the new year 2020. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. It's a new decade. We're starting a new decade. And so to be ready and hit the ground running, that was the goal that I had with this. And for those who, you know, may wait until after the first of the year, I'll bring the course back. It just won't have that live interaction element in it at that point.
That's great. So if it's not the right time for you, that's no problem. There will be further launch in January. But for those of you that want to get hold of Jim's knowledge and, you know, shake him for all he's worth, so you get every ounce of it out of him, that you've got an opportunity to do that. So that is on sale. This podcast will air during the time that the course is on sale. So it'll be on sale for a few days. It is open until the 29th of November, so Black Friday, sometime in the evening. I'm guessing there'll be a counter on the landing page, so it'll tell you exactly when it's going to close.
Yes.
And yeah, peteeverett.com/solopreneursguide will send you straight on through. That's brilliant. So this kind of nicely fits in with the topic, as if sort of having you on and talking about your course wasn't enough. The topic that I wanted to talk to you about was that I know from conversations that I have with people in our Facebook group that people look at me and they think that I have all my marketing stuff lined up, which makes me chuckle a little bit because I know some of the marketing stuff that I'd like to do and don't have the time for. So, you know, some of this I feel like I'm doing by the seat of my pants. But likewise, I then look at people who I seem to think have their marketing stuff lined up, and I include you in this, where, you know, you've got your podcast, you've got your blogs, you've got your all of your interview stuff that you do, you're writing and launching courses, you're still running a business on top of this. And, you know, and I'm looking and thinking, gee, how do you get your ducks lined up like that? So what I really wanted to talk to you about was, if I'm talking to those consultants that are just starting out or have maybe been working for a year or so, but they're working every hour that God sends in order to pay the bills,
yeah,
where do I start with sort of doing my own proactive marketing for my small agency?
Well, for me, it was a matter of trying to focus on which child, so to speak, would be my firstborn, meaning that which one is going to mature the fastest, which is going to be in a place where this business is going, that I'm going to take care of in its infancy stages, is going to grow up to be able to take care of me. And so, you know, I bounced around a lot in the beginning, like everybody else, because everything looks great. You hear somebody saying, hey, we're making money on this platform. And so you go over to that platform. Then somebody says, hey, video is in now. So you jump over there. The next thing you know, you're spending a little bit of time in a lot of places and you're not growing any roots in any of them. And so what happens is you have to commit to a single path and a single strategy. And that's easier said than done. And I say that because everybody needs to change, but change isn't easy. If it were, everybody would be doing it. It's kind of like everybody knows kind of that they should be eating better. Everybody knows that they should be getting exercise or more sleep.
Yep.
Everybody knows and everybody knows. So you have to get to the point where you realize that the lack of focus is literally hurting my business growth. So let's sit down and create a plan and plug in the strategy that we can commit to for the next 3 to 6 months before we abandon ship. And the idea of committing to this time of getting this thing out there, whatever that thing may be, for me, it was a podcast. I decided in this iteration of my business, I would focus on podcasting. And I podcasted from 2017 to 2018 with very little in terms of people responding to it or sending me a message and saying, hey, that was really great. I enjoyed it. And all during that time, all during those 12 months, every time I would look at my stats, I just, like this cloud would come over my head. But I'm used to this. This is how it works. I've been doing this for over 2 decades now. And I realized in the internet of 2020, the 6 month effort is probably going to turn into a 12 month effort before I get an accurate reading about whether I'm really wasting my time or is there something here?
Yeah.
And so when you look at that and you say, wow, are you saying that I should commit to something, a single path for an entire year and just keep my head down and do the work? Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. And the thing is, if you're not committed to it, all the negative emotions that you're going to feel during this ride, the things that are telling you you're wasting your time, people don't enjoy your content, all of the thoughts that go through our minds, if you're not prepared for those before they come, those things will just, they'll floor you. And the emotion that comes with those thoughts will just cause you to move on to something else or quit. And so this causes this circle of just, you know, it's like kind of like Groundhog Day, where you just wake up every day and you have this level of hope that, okay, I'm going to try this today. And then this doesn't work. And you just go round and round. So thinking, digging deep instead of wide. So the other issue with it is that when we put something out there into the wild, sooner or later, the public raises their hands and says, yes, I enjoy what you're doing. I'm getting something out of it. Or they keep their hands down and say no. And, you know, no matter how good of a marketer you are, no matter how good of a copywriter you are, we still all face that, where our product is put up on the block and people yay or nay it. Now, if we get enough people that say yes, then we know that there's other people out there just like them who will also say yes to it. Then we know we have something. Even if it's just a small number of people, even if you have 20 people that love what you're doing or love that kind of content that you're putting out, then you know that there are other people out there just like them. But if no one's responding and the feedback is tepid at best, then after a period of again, 6 to 12 months, then you just know that, okay, this is not going to be a winner in the marketplace.
Yep. Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think that's, for me, that was one of the reasons why putting the Facebook group alongside my podcast was a good way for me to gauge very quickly how it was going to be received. Rather than waiting for to try and get some paid work off my podcast and use that as a gauge, you know, how many clients am I getting out of this? You start to think about, right, so how can I gauge some level of temperature for this without there being the pressure of a sale or money or a product or anything like that being involved? It was, to begin with, the Facebook group was just, you know what, if people start listening to my podcast and joining my group, I know that they're engaging with the content. So, and you know what, I then get a second channel to deliver content to them through, and we can start having more of a discussion. And for me, we talk to our clients a lot about breaking your conversions down into micro conversions. And that for me was kind of the first micro conversion, in inverted commas, for the podcast. I don't know how you feel about that, but that was kind of the approach that I took with this. I've agreed with everything you've said. I just added that little bit on the end.
Right. Well, you know, they say it takes out of 7 product launches, 1 succeeds.
There you go.
That's the averages that they said. So if you look at that in terms of ideas, the other thing about this is that I take more of a personal brand approach now, as you do. Matter of fact, I even highlighted your site in my course. I didn't tell you that. And I'm telling you now for the first time. I went to look for some solopreneurs who, are branding themselves. And the thing is that there's no emotional connection to a product or a company, but we bond with people and they go on a journey with us. Sometimes that journey is a long journey. It's kind of like you graduate high school. Some friends you have for life and some disappear, after a few years, and some you reconnect to. It's kind of like that in the internet world, where people will listen to you and they'll journey with you for so many miles. Sometimes they get what they need and they move on. Other times they come back. Others are there for the whole journey. But the thing I noticed is, let's say you and I got together and we had a lot of extra income, couldn't figure out what to do with it. And we said, let's create a TV series. We'll create a UK and a US version of it. Right? So we write the series out, we get the film and everything done, and it's a hit. It's a hit over there, it's a hit over here. It's like, wow, we got this award-winning series. And we have like, I don't know, maybe like 15 episodes per season. So the first season's great, the second season's great. After about season 5, it kind of like, we lose part of our audience. In season 6, we lose a little more. And then you and I sit together and we're thinking, you know what, maybe we should just wrap up the story in the next season. That way we can end it on a high note, because we kind of told the story that we need to, and we'll sit down, we'll create a brand new story with brand new characters, we'll launch something else. It kind of goes like that in the online world, because right now people are interested in certain topics. You're talking about them, I'm talking about them. But the nice thing is that just like the life of a product, it has a beginning, it has a middle, and has an end. When you're a personal brand, when you market yourself, then you have the ability to reinvent yourself as you go through these market changes, as society changes, as the online world changes. So everything that you're building, it's all adding up one layer upon another, until eventually you have like an entire career you can look back on. And clients for life that are connected with you throughout that career. So that's how I look at it, kind of in that kind of a light.
Yeah. And I think when you get there, it's this whole marketing thing essentially is habitual. That this type of content marketing, where you are taking people on a journey, for you as the generator of the content, it becomes habitual. You know, I couldn't, it's a Wednesday afternoon. Well, it is here. It'll be Wednesday morning for you, but it's, where I am right now, and I record 2 or 3 podcasts a week, and for me, my week would seem weird if I now didn't record them. But if I rewind 20 months to when I started this thing, it felt really bizarre sitting down in front of a microphone, and that's how time changes things. But with your sort of, where I'm going with this is, you know, as you're saying, people are joining you on a journey, and as things start to become more habitual, then actually they become a bit easier, and that leads to something else. And that's when the second layer takes shape over the top of it, and then the third, and then the fourth, and so on, until you get to the point where, you know, you look at the people that I'm looking up to, which, you know, they're putting content out every day, and they, you know, they always seem to be on the money, and they seem to be speaking to me right where I am, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, are you stalking me? And that's that's kind of it. You can't start with a plan of I'm going to get to there. You start with the first level, and then you build the second, then you build the third, as it seems to make sense. And you're right, that can then pivot with your business as you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you heard of, you know who Mark Cuban is?
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he, I forgot all of the stuff that he's made, but I think he's worth like a billion dollars or $2 billion. There was an interview with him recently where he was talking about, he's on a show called The Shark Tank, where they invest in new businesses. They were interviewing him, and he said, you know, there's people out there who are worth 20, 30 billion or more. And he said, I feel like a midget next to them. So there's everybody looking up to him because he's on TV and, you know, he's a billionaire. But there's billionaires whose income eclipses his, and he feels small when comparing himself to them. And so there's really no end, I think, to that comparison thing. Yeah. But in a good way, rather than look at, wow, you know, I've only got one or two websites and this person has like 30 and they're all selling stuff. And then you try and build that. It's kind of like the 10-year-old watching his dad lift weights or run or something and try and match the speed or the strength. He's just not at that stage of development yet. And I think that we all develop kind of at different rates. And so, you know, when I was in my late teens, I was really fast when I was like 15 or 16 years old, but I'm not like a big person, you know? So the people that I was beating in races when I, you know, 3 or 4 years earlier, they were growing taller and getting faster and everything. I was kind of bummed about it because now I'm no longer, Jim's no longer that fast. You know, he's just average. He was the Flash when he was 15, but now that he's 18, he's kind of just like, you know, just a pretender. And so you feel like that sometimes when you compare yourself to other people. But now, having been at it for over two decades and having talked to people behind the scenes and realizing that some of these people are paying a huge cost in terms of stress and anxiety to manage this monster that they've built. So a good example of this is that, you know, if you have, think of like a rock band. Right? The rock band, what happens? They get famous and then all the little members start arguing and they go their own way, or some of them get arrested and the whole thing starts spiraling. You know, we see those things on the movies when they show, oh, this is what this band was like and this is what happened. And keeping people together is really hard. So you can train somebody for a year and then suddenly they just move on. No warning. They just leave. They found something. They found a better job. So you have to deal with that when you look at these big business models. I didn't want to build that. I wanted to build a solopreneur style business where I can leverage technology and systems that other people manage and not have the stress, but also have an increased profits as a result of having all those little systems in place. So that's what I'm looking to build. I don't want to be like Gary Vee. I mean, what do you think Gary Vee's overhead must be?
Yeah, God knows.
Right. And how many employees rely on him for money?
Yeah.
You know, and especially during the holidays, right? Everybody, what starts happening when his business slows down 5%, 10%? Yeah, I don't want that kind of stress. I want to work with a handful of people and have the rest of the systems automated, you know, to replace the need of having to deal with personalities and unhappy people that don't tell you they're unhappy until the last minute and all the things that come with working with a big group of people. That's what I like to avoid.
Yeah. It's, I think that's why when you set out on this journey, it's really important to have your own picture of what success is going to look like for you. And that doesn't necessarily need to be money. It could be, you know, it can be the type of lifestyle that you want, or the fact that you want to go and play golf every Thursday afternoon. It can be, you know, it can be a whole load of things. And I did a solo episode, two or three episodes before this one. So I'll put a link in the show notes. Go and check it out, where I talked about sort of what my goals are. And I was unashamedly selfish about them, I suppose. Not selfish in a sort of nasty way, but, you know, about me and my family and what I wanted to achieve for that. Because that's the reason why I do what I do every day, why I get out of bed, you know, that's it. So you need to construct that kind of picture in order for you to then have that driving force, that momentum almost, to keep on building these things up.
Yeah, and that's where the plan comes in. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't make a plan. What they do is they say, okay, I'm good at SEO or design or web development. Let me try and get out there and sell some services. So this is, and then they realize, okay, I have to market myself to get more people in. So what should I do? And then they do whatever that is they come up with. And then they think, okay, I got to, you know, now I have to do this. And just the list starts growing and growing and growing. And the difference is that they don't have a plan. Everything is being built in reaction mode.
Yep.
And so the stress is doubled and tripled. So if you just sit down and you think, okay, this is how much money I would like to make per year. So let's take something simple. Let's take 60,000 pounds, let's say.
Yeah.
This is what we need to make. I have somebody else in the household, a wife or husband working, whatever. Let me just shoot for this goal first. This is where I want to get to. So then you think, all right, well, what am I selling? And how much does it cost? You know, you put that down in your plan, you start doing some calculations. Well, you know, I would have to sell X number of these to get to that 60,000 pounds. Wow, that's kind of a lot. Well, what else could I do? Is there a way that I can break these numbers down a little easier? And you think, okay, so maybe I can have a monthly service that I can offer. Maybe it's web hosting, or maybe it's email marketing services. So I don't have to sell that one product that many times every single month to hit my 60,000 pounds or $60,000, for those of you here in the US, per year. And then you think, okay, well, if I can convert a high number of my initial front-end buyers into this monthly plan, now I have some residual income. And with that residual income, I don't have to sell this many units every month to hit my goal in 12 months. And so you're planning all this out before you're even taking the first step, and you're allowing for some room for error, as opposed to, let's just get out there, put up a site, put some prices on it, and see what happens.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Once you've got that plan and you know what it is you're striving for, and then you know how you're going to break it down, you can then say, so who's going to buy this? Or if I've already been doing this in a reactive way, I can look back at my customers and say that they're the people that I really liked working with. There's a few that I'd happily not work with again. They're the ones. So they're the people that I'm talking to. They're the people that are going to listen to podcasts, or they read blogs, or they sit on YouTube, you know, they watch YouTube videos, they subscribe to YouTube channels. So what I'm going to do is take the one platform that they listen to the most, or they engage with the most, and that is going to be my first marketing channel. And that then allows me to offer the most value to them in the format that they want to consume, and I only have to do it once.
Yeah, and exactly.
That's where we start.
Yeah, that's how you start. So even if you did start in reactive mode, like I did, you know, I just jumped in there and started doing things. I had moved from one state to another, all the way to the bottom of the country. Didn't know anybody here except for like one or two people. And had to start from the ground up. And so just looking at that was just like overwhelming. It was like sitting in the front room of a movie theater, except the screen was 20 times the size that it normally is. And I just looked up with my head back with my mouth wide open, and it's, oh my God, what have I gotten into?
Hey, I think at times in our lives, we've all been there. I think it's a rite of passage.
You know, fortunately, I grew up around entrepreneurs. My father was an entrepreneur, my grandfather, his father before him. Problem was they were all in different niches, different markets, doing different things. And I took for granted the lessons that I had learned in the very beginning, because I didn't see how some evergreen business principles worked at the time. All I saw was the internet's brand new. All this stuff is happening. how are these people learning all this? Did they go to school to learn how to build a website? And there I was with Front Page 97,
you know,
trying to create some tables and okay, this table is here, and everything was built with tables back then.
Oh yeah, nesting tables. Did you used to do what I used to do, and you used to get like a printout of the design that was put together, and then I used to get different colored highlighter pens and draw out the tables on the printout so I could sort of figure out the nesting. Did you ever do that?
Yeah, I kind of did do that that way, and it was just tough. I was seeing things in columns and rows, and sometimes like the column like ended before it should have ended. It's like scratching my head and think, how do I pass this column through this row?
And then you'd always get one creative that'd want to put like a round badge or something that would overlap two columns, and you're like, oh no, I'm gonna have to break that in half. It's just gonna be awful.
Yeah, those were tough days, and you could actually buy those sites. You know, people used to put a whole site together in like Photoshop. And it would be like sliced up with the slices with the HTML, and you could just buy a template.
Mm.
The only problem was when somebody wanted something done that the template wouldn't allow for.
Yep.
And if you put that thing in there, it would break the template apart. Those are stressful days.
They were. And sometimes that thing could just be that, you know, that block of text that was 3 lines long is now 4 lines long.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the secret to that is you take the word and you replace it by the ampersand sign. Yeah. that frees up 2 characters.
Yeah, too right. We've all been there. any of us that started back when the date was 19, we've all been there.
Yeah. So. But you know, it was a fun time. It really was. And one of the things that stayed with me all through these years is that there's a part of me that really enjoys the creativity of when you're doing your own thing, or when you have a client that just says, here, do whatever you think should be done. It's in your hands. And then doesn't come back and change his mind. You know what I mean? Later in the process. But I still enjoy taking something from concept to completion. And I still enjoy this online business, because even though, you know, you can have stress like not being with the right clients, or maybe you're not using your time as wisely as you can, you know, at a moment's notice, you can stop what you're doing and you can go pick up your kids from school, or, you know, if somebody needs you in the family. It's not like you're in a company where you're punching a clock and, you know, you don't go outside without risk of getting fired. You know, you have the control being in business for yourself. And so even if you're not full-time yet, there is that benefit that you can't lose sight of.
Yeah, you're dead right. And it sounds more complicated than it really is. I think that's one of the things. I was having a WhatsApp conversation with a guy yet last night, actually, while the kids were in bed, my wife was out. And a friend of mine was thinking about starting a podcast, and if he's launched it by the time this episode goes live, I will put a link in the show notes. But if he hasn't, then I don't want to, you know, I don't want to name and shame if it doesn't happen. So I'll keep it anonymous. But he was starting to have this conversation. He's like, look, I just don't like the sound of my own voice, and it's. You know,
people do.
Yeah, well, that was my first response. I don't like the sound of mine either. But the other thing is that the podcast isn't for you. So if you don't like the sound of it, don't listen to it. It's simple. That's one less listener. The conversation was really started sort of centering around the fact that some forms of marketing, this is kind of bringing us back full circle to the personal brand thing. Some forms of marketing just work better if you put yourself into it, because people relate to you rather than to a business. And look, you know, we've all been there. When we all started out, we all wanted to seem bigger than a one-man band. So we gave ourselves a company name. And did that happen to you?
Yeah, matter of fact, I took a name that was so close to this mega company that was already here in the Tampa area that people still think I'm own that company to this day sometimes.
You know, so we've all done it. We've all done it. I used to run a freelance company that I called it Coda Digital Media, and it was a freelance coding company, and it worked, and it was fine, but it was still just me in a room with a computer. That's all it was.
Yeah.
And the moment, if you go and visit my website, PeteEverett.com, I can't believe you've included it in your course, crikey. But if you go and visit PeteEverett.com, you'll see there's a picture there of me with my arms folded, looking straight at you. And me uploading that photo, again, felt really strange, absolutely bizarre. It's now used kind of quite a lot in my social media profiles and whatever. But that photo was taken by a mutual friend of ours, Lee Jackson, who had just got a new green screen and wanted to try it out. And I happened to be in town and was visiting a client. So I popped in and had a coffee. And he said, hey, just stand there and look, let me take a photo of you. And sure enough, I still haven't had a proper headshot done yet. I'm still using that photo. And if you zoom in, you can actually see a bit of a green sort of halo through my hair, which is his green screen in the background. it does feel weird. But actually, by putting yourself out there and then experiencing the better level of conversation that you get back, because people are relating with you rather than with this empty sort of company entity that you're trying to be, all of a sudden that feeling of nervousness just goes away and you feel far more settled and planted, and everything we've just spoken about, you know, far more proactive, far more in control of what's going on. All of that kind of stuff just eventually falls into place.
Oh yeah, it's great. And sometimes after you've been at it for a while, people will recognize you in your hometown, like in a store, and they'll say, hey, aren't you? You know, or you'll walk into like some kind of a meetup or something that's local, and people start whispering, hey, that's so-and-so, you know? And it feels funny because, you know, you're just a regular person. But, you know, people see that you have all these online assets and you know, if you had some famous clients. You know, funny thing was, my grandfather was a Hall of Fame boxing trainer. So he managed and worked in the camp of an old-time fighter named Jersey Joe Walcott. Mm. Jersey Joe was the oldest heavyweight champion of all time until George Foreman broke the record. So my dad and everything went to all these training camps with my grandfather. And so as I was growing up, I met all these celebrities. They didn't seem like celebrities to me. They just seemed like regular people. So then I had some other people in my family that were kind of like good fella types. And I got to meet some more famous people. So I realized that, hey, all of these people are just people. They're just people. It's just that other people put them on a pedestal because they were in like a big movie or something like that, or they were a famous athlete, or they had this world title. Mm. But I got used to that early on, that, okay, these are just regular people that once you get to know them, you think, oh, okay, they're just like me. But when it happens to you, it's kind of funny, you know, because we're just, you know, we're creating podcasts or we're selling stuff online, and it has its own kind of like celebrity attached to it. So, it's funny. And it is humbling sometimes. You know, I've had people say, you know, Jim Galliano, you're here in the bookstore. Are you researching like an upcoming show or something like that? And I'd laugh and I'd say, no, I'm just looking for a book to read. And then I'd think, yeah, I better leave now before he finds out I'm just like him and break the illusion.
Yeah. You know, that the first time that happened to me was at an event earlier on this year. In fact, it was Lee's event, Agency Transformation Live. And that was the first time I had people that I'd literally had no idea who they were come up to me and say, hey, Pete Everett, how are you doing? I listened to your show, this, that, and the other. And then they'd start coming out with questions and quizzing you, but by episode number. So they'd, you know, in episode 42, you said this. What did you mean? And I'm like, I don't even know what episode 42 was about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a nice thing, because at the end of the day, you know, I had this point that was kind of like a turning point, kind of like a fork in the road for me. It was a long day. I wasn't feeling particularly good about what I was doing. And life was kind of like mediocre at best. And I thought, you know, wow, the years are just passing. And this is what I'm doing. Mm. And I thought, what a waste of time. Maybe I should be doing something else. And then I suddenly realized, it hit me, that life is really about the people that you share the stage with, so to speak. It's kind of like you're born into a generation. You connect with people. Sometimes eventually you connect with people who are older and younger and in your generation. And what makes life exciting and what makes you thankful, it always has to do with the people that you're connected to. Likewise, the things that make it miserable also has to do with the people you're connected to, but it always comes back to people. And so I thought, you know what? Behind every client is a family that relies on that person to keep a roof over their head, put food on the table. And I started changing the way I approached business. I thought, you know what? My goal in doing what I'm doing is to be have a positive effect in other people's lives, is to be able to change some lives for the better, whether it be through an encouraging word or through a course that I create or something that I write or in a podcast. This is the goal. And so it transcends the actual putting together a course or writing a book or doing a podcast or creating websites or being a digital business owner. Transcends all of that. It's all about people connecting with people. So when I go out and meet a client for the first time now, and I don't know if I'm going to get the client or not, they're going to be new, bring him on board or not. My goal is to enjoy the time that I have sitting down with that person and to block out every other thing, what I did before I got there and what I have to do afterward. I want to enjoy the time. Just like we're talking now, I'm not thinking about anything else, and enjoy that time, because this is what life will ultimately be about when all is said and done, was how we treated the people around us. And so after I made that mental switch, then everything changed. And I really became thankful that I was doing what I was doing, because no matter what you do, I'm sure that at a certain point in life, you turn around and say, oh boy, I envy that person who's doing that. And this person over there that's doing that. I'm just doing this, you know?
I know exactly what you mean. And I think that's a brilliant way for us to sort of wrap up this episode, because, you know, we've touched on so much, from your course to marketing your own business, to getting your business priorities lined up. And actually, you're dead right. I love what you've just said. I've just written it down to type it into the show notes. You know, that ultimately life is about the way that you treat and engage with the people that are around you. So, yeah. And you're right. That if that transcends everything that you do, then you know what, you are going to succeed in business. You are going to succeed with friends. You are going to succeed in your marketing. All of these different things then start to line up, because at the end of the day, being a genuine person it does transcend it all. I can't put it better. I keep on saying the word transcend now.
So that's where happiness is. It's like we're internally wired to become that. It's just that other things knock us off course sometimes, and unfortunately, some people don't find it, but that's what I believe the goal is.
Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to join me this afternoon. If people want to get in touch with you, find you online and start pestering you about your course that you've got, where's the best place that they can get hold of you?
JimGalliano.com. The link is in the show notes. These show notes are getting longer and longer.
Yeah, if you can find them in Ben-Hur, the link is in the show notes, okay?
You can download the gigabyte of show notes right at the bottom link.
That's fantastic. I'll make sure that the link to Jim Galliano.
Jim Galliano. Jill wasn't available this morning.
The link will be right at the top of the show notes. Thanks so much for your time, mate, and I hope to speak to you soon.
All right, sounds great. Talk to you later.
Jim and Jill, thank you so much for your time coming on the show. That was a really great episode. If you do want to check out Jim's course, you need to go to peteeverett.com/solopreneur's guide. There's a link in the show notes, which you can get to through your podcast player or by visiting peteeverett.com/077. I am sorry that I had a cold this week. So if you're wondering why the intro and outro sound a bit weird, it's because I'm full of stuff. And I hope you like the new intro as well. That was just me playing around with a few ideas. Let me know what you think, and I'll see you next week.